And welcome. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And Heart of Mind Radio will be heard every Saturday at 6 p.m. On today's program, I'll be speaking to Rob Lenihan about his first novel, Born Speaking Lies. In segment two, I'll take a deeper spiritual look at the challenges of life and the scripts we inherit and can potentially live out. And I'll be offering some suggestions on what we can do to rewrite our story and connect to our true purpose. My guest today, Rob Lenihan, was born in Brooklyn in the same year the Dodgers left, but he likes to think that these two events are not related. Raised in Bay Ridge, he has worked at newspapers in Brooklyn, Pennsylvania, and Connecticut, covering crime, business, and politics. He maintains a blog, the Luna Park Gazette, and has written three screenplays, and he's the author of this book, Born Speaking Lies. Told in the raw and unforgettable voice of a carrier criminal, Billy the Kid, Born Speaking Lies is the story of a man who gets that rare second chance in life as he tries to escape the violent world of the 1990s Brooklyn and a history of bad choices. And we're going to be learning a little bit more about this book, but first I wanted to welcome you, Rob Lenihan, to Heart of Mind Radio. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And I know that you have kind of a history of delving into the thinking processes, the psychology, the events of people who get involved in crime, people who get involved in, well, I would even think that even in business and politics, there's some crime in there as well. And maybe
they all come together sometimes.
Yeah, some unsavory behavior in all three of those genres. And now, while this book is a novel and it's a creative effort, it really, to me, speaks to this question that we all face. Do we live out the scripts of our past, what we've been learned to do, what we've learned to do, the environment we grew up in, or can we really grasp that opportunity to change our lives? And I think that's a really important question for all of us. And this is an opportunity for all of us to contemplate that and at the same time enjoy this thriller, because that's what it is. It's a real thriller waiting to find out what happens with Billy the Kid. So Rob, before we go into that, tell a little bit about yourself and the work you've done as a writer over the years.
Well, as we mentioned, I was born in Brooklyn, and I became a reporter, working in weeklies, and I lived in Pennsylvania for 5 years as a police reporter, so I got to see crime up close and personal. And that kind of, I've always been interested in crime writing since I was a child, and in crime stories, I guess. And as I grew older, though, they sort of moved away from just the action, you know, the shoot 'em up side of it, to the more like, why are people living this way? You know, why are people choosing to put themselves at risk, to steal from others, to hurt people, to ignore a lot of, I don't know, a lot of good parts of their spirit to just satisfy the most, I don't know, animalistic part of their nature? You know, why do they do this? And it's just something that continues to fascinate me. And even I think when you see stories of corruption, where, you know, this respected politician or respected businessman, all of a sudden he's arrested for, he goes out of his house in handcuffs for stealing. You know, what happened here? You're all kind of like amazed, but what is going on? So that always kind of interested me, and I was writing short stories. I have a love of film, so that's where the screenplays come in, and then just like exploring what goes on inside of people as opposed to just, you know, action.
Yeah, and that's what really gives the story its depth, that it really brings this question. It's not just a series of events. It's a moral dilemma, a spiritual dilemma that the character is working through. So tell us a little something about the book itself, Born Speaking Lies. What is the history of this fellow, Billy the Kid, that leads him into this crime?
Oh, his history, life. Yeah, it's long and tortured. He comes from a very, very dysfunctional home. A very hateful man. His father is a very violent and just a very unsupportive man. And that plays out in Billy's life. I mean, very early on, the father tells blatantly, just tells his son he's a curse. He's been a curse ever since he was born. You see, that gets in the kid's mind, and I think that sets him off on the wrong direction. The title comes from a Bible quote: "The wicked are estranged from the womb; they are born speaking lies." Again, this mentality of like you're cursed the moment you step on this planet, and can you escape that, or do you just follow that brand that's been put on you? You know, and mm-hmm. I think he suffers through both. He does go down this very dark path, but I think it's a part of him that wants to get out, and when given the chance, he does take it. For a while, and then the old voices start calling him back, though. And so when his fellow mobsters try to kill him and fail, they leave him in a ditch in Pennsylvania. Well, he gets picked up by a woman who takes him in, and he starts living his life in this small town in Pennsylvania. And it's Mount Pocono. I used to cover events in Mount Pocono. And it looks good for a while, but things start to go wrong, and he just... The lust for revenge to hurt the people that hurt him start to just overwhelm him and blot out the good life he has.
Mm. And this is something that's so often... This is something that so often happens to all of us, is that we are really blotting out our past and blotting out our early childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a way in which, you know, that we can all see a little bit of this character, Billy the Kid, in ourselves. Is there a way in which you can see some of these in your own life experience, some of this dilemma?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I think the holding on to the past, holding on to grudges, all this past baggage that I've seen in myself, I mean... I think you made a good point. This story is extreme with gangsters and shooting and a lot of unpleasant incidents. But it doesn't have to be that violent, at least not on the outside. It could be emotional violence that we inflict upon ourselves with recalling all these awful times in our lives and stewing over them and not letting them go. And I want to add, of course, letting something go is not easy. I think that's, you know, some people make it sound like, oh, just let it go. No, obviously it's going to take work. But it's good work. It is spiritual work that moves you forward. You know, holding on to something, mm-hmm. holding on to your history, is just going to weigh you down. And so, yeah, I put a lot of emotion into that character. You know, for the record, I never shot anybody. Okay, I just want to get that out there. But I've had a lot of like anger in my heart. I've had a lot of things that bother me that go back decades. It amazes me sometimes. Like, I ask myself, are you really thinking about this person that you have not seen since, you know, the Carter administration? Isn't it time you kind of like moved on from that? So, yeah, it is. It's incredible how we can hold on to things that just hurt us, you know. And it takes, you have to expand your vision to see what is helping you and what is not.
Yeah, and like you said, there is a little difficulty in releasing those things, but the first step is really realizing that this is what you're doing and being able to step out of yourself enough to even be able to make that choice. Because it seems to me that your character, that's part of his struggle. Can I step out of it? Can I stay out of it? Mm-hmm. Or do I lose my sense of... control? Do I lose my sense of really understanding the consequences? And so I feel in some ways that this is tied to that person and every person's inability to really redefine themselves and really understand the goodness that they have inside of themselves. Can you speak to your character, Billy the Kid, in that period when he's with the woman, Laura, and he is beginning to have a taste of what a good life might be? What is that like in the character, and how does he lose that, or how does that begin to erode?
Yeah, I think it's the. I think he's feeling good, and it's making him nervous. He's not looking over his shoulder. He's not hurting someone or fighting off someone, and it's something where it is so good. I think he has trouble handling it. It's like there's not conflict of some type. There's not some confrontation, not some violence, either physical or emotional, and he doesn't quite know how to handle it. Now, as I mentioned, he was wounded in an assassination attempt. His friends tried to kill him. He starts to get severe headaches and realizes that he's probably not long for this earth. And that's when he starts on that trail of revenge. And as opposed to staying with this woman who loves him, who will take care of him until he leaves this world, he decides he's going to go out and take a lot of people with him, basically. And again, he has this choice of either choosing love or choosing hate. You know.
And in many ways, we have that choice, even though we might not recognize that that's the choice.
Yeah.
So, and one of the things that we spoke about when we were talking earlier is that, you know, maybe it is that this character, Billy the Kid, just never made a connection to his essence, his real higher self, his spirit. But I think that a lot of people suffer from this because certainly for a lot of Christians, and I was born into the Catholic faith myself, that, you know, we get this idea that we're born in sin and that there's, you know, there's pretty much nothing you can do about that.
We're told so right off the bat, you know, virginal sin. You got it. You just walked in and it's all yours, you know.
Yeah. And so a lot of people struggle with this issue of coming to a sense of real value, self-value, and self-esteem. And even though that this story that you wrote, it's, you know, it's fascinating, it's a thriller, you go through all these inner workings between him and Laura, between him and this violent community, you look at what's happening with him and his father, but I think everybody can relate to that on some level. For some people it's the father, for some people it's the mother, for some people it's the community, where that they just didn't get support and unconditional love that people need.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering if you can sort of speak to that place where we begin to supply that for ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe Billy the Kid didn't even have enough resources to seek help. But how would you talk to people about, you know, maybe thinking beyond the box of what they're most inclined to do and what kind of behaviors they might enact?
Right. I mean, I think the first thing about when you're carrying a burden is to realize you're actually carrying one, to know you're, until you can put it down. You can't put the burden down until you know you're actually carrying one. So I think a great man once told me about the process of detach and observe, where you actually step out of your thoughts and view them as if they're on a TV screen or they're happening to someone else. And you sort of act like a scientist. Okay, yeah, I see I'm doing that again. I'm hurting myself again, or I'm going on this old negative pattern again. Okay, you just sort of treat it dispassionately. The step away from the emotional abuse that we, oh, I'm an idiot, I did it again. All this name-calling that we, you know, feast upon or put upon ourselves will just hold us back. And it's designed to do that. It's designed to keep us in place. So mindfulness, I took a meditation class a few years ago, and it's one of my better decisions. I never thought I would, but I do meditate 20 minutes every morning. I put the timer on, and that's a very, very important part of my day. And it's a struggle. I think another important aspect is admitting it's just tough work. I think, speaking again personally, I used to be a big one with New Year's Eve. Okay, as of January 1st, I will no longer lose my temper. I will no longer do. And of course, what happens? You know, you've got to recognize it's a day-to-day struggle and a worthwhile struggle in changing and coming in touch with your real self. And it's the reward, you know, is worth the effort.
Yeah, I certainly agree. I certainly agree. And I think also what's really beautiful about the story of this book, Born Speaking Lies, is also the story of the fact that it was even written. So I consider this to be, you know, when a person puts their first book out and actually puts in the work, writes the book, and publishes that book, it's a real triumph. So I want to congratulate you for that.
Thank you. It's very
kind. It's a big deal, and it's a beautiful book, and I think people will really enjoy going through it and learning and traveling in this man's shoes and making that relationship to the ways in which their lives might have become distorted because of the way they were taught and raised as a child. But tell a little bit about your process of turning all of these reporting, you know, you were a reporter and you were a writer and you do blogging, but that journey of really putting a book together and getting it published and getting it out, what was that like for you?
Oh my goodness, it was a journey, and I think if I had to be honest, I did make it harder because I think part of me, every time I sat down in front of, well, give you an idea, I started when it was with a typewriter. That's how long ago we go back here. I had this, I think I was telling myself, I'm writing a book, and then someone in the back of my head was saying, you can't write a book. So there was this constant internal struggle that I didn't even recognize, you know. And so I would put it aside, work on something else. I scattered myself, you know, projects here, projects there. I'd take courses in this, take courses in that. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, and this was my monster in a box, to use the title. I just sort of carried around, literally carried me from Pennsylvania to Connecticut and back to Brooklyn. And then I think I just got to a point where, you know, I'm going to be 60 years old in May, and I just decided, you know, when are we going to do this? Are you really serious about this? Will you finish this? And I did, and I started the search for publishers with another journey where there were a lot of people who liked it, but with always the but in there. And finally I came upon a small house in Vermont that I liked it, and here we are.
Excellent. And I have to tell you that I find myself in this very same struggle. I have these books in me, and I have all these notes and plans, and things are in the works, but right. I have yet to manifest that book. So I take great inspiration from what you've done, because it's really not the easiest thing for all of us, I should say. So I'm sure there are some people where it just, you know, slips right out of their consciousness. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it is, the writing of the book is also part of the healing process. And I think that that's really a beautiful thing, that you've created this book, you've taken all of this experience that you have in covering crime and covering these issues, and you've sort of woven it into your own healing process. So here you are as a successful author putting out this book, and people can read the book on so many different levels. And I just want to remind people that we are speaking with Rob Lenihan, and the title of the book is Born Speaking Lies. And it really talks about this crossroads that we face from time to time in our lives of, are we going to take that second chance? Are we going to take the path less taken? Are we going to go against that which might have been written for us by our situations? And as you're reading the book, Born Speaking Lies, you can just enjoy it on the level of a good story, a good read. You'll be able to get into the adventure and the intrigue of it. You can get into the psychology of the characters. And then you can begin to reflect on it in relationship to your own experience. And hopefully most of us are not at such a level as Billy the Kid from the book Born Speaking Lies, but we can see where, well, maybe I can look at my life a little bit differently as well, so that I don't end up with a disastrous end or a disastrous outcome. So I highly suggest that those of you who are tuned in, get a copy of this book, Born Speaking Lies. And you could actually go to the website robertlenihan.com if you want to find out more, robertlenihan.com. Also, he has Rob has a Facebook page. You can check him out there. And all of these links are going to be on the archive page once this program is published. And, Rob, you also do a blog, the Luna Park Gazette. What's that about?
What's that about? That's a great question. I basically say whatever is on my mind goes into my blog. So I have childhood stories. I have my stories as a reporter covering various crimes and fires and car accidents, things that happened to me in the street. The other day, a little girl put a little magic show for me outside our house, and I gave her a couple bucks, and so I wrote about that. I mean, just blogging has been a really fine experience for me because I've met some really terrific people in all parts of the world. I mean, one old lady in England that I met, and quote-unquote met, you know, and we have yet to meet in the real world. But it's just been a great experience, and it's also teaching me more about fiction, too, because I'm finding stories in smaller things now. And when I first started writing as a young man, I was looking for the big, bombastic, you know, crime, shootings. But so much drama happens on such smaller levels. And blogging really helped me with that. And plus, I do get my voice out there. I mean, I wrote a story once, a blog post, about being bullied in grammar school. And at least two of my friends share their experiences. And that's what I really like about the blog, because it's not just, I don't want it to be just Dear Diary. I want people to see it and react to it and tell me their stories, you know, because I want to hear them.
Yeah, and in a way, blogging gives you sort of a perspective on the value of your own life, the value of your relationships, the value that each person has and can bring to your life, because who would imagine that a little girl in front of her house would bring this gift to you? And I think if we can learn to appreciate those little things for being so much more than we might consider it, then that really does enrich our lives, doesn't it?
Oh, indeed, indeed. It really does. And I look back and I say, you know, with that girl, I might have taken a different route home or gone a few minutes earlier or sooner, and I would have missed this lovely experience. And, I'm sure a lot of people would have rolled their eyes. What, you know, who cares? But I really enjoyed it. It was a really nice, nice time.
Well, that's really wonderful. And one of the things also you were speaking of, we spoke of about Billy the Kid in your books, Born Speaking Lies, is that he doesn't seem to really have a connection to his own spirit and inner life.
Nope.
And can you talk about that for a minute, if you have a little bit more time?
Sure. I think he does have a very powerful and rich spirit, but he has learned to hide it, because I think he's been hurt so many times as a child, and he's had so many bad experiences that he convinces himself that the only way to get by is to live in this more visceral, day-to-day survival mode, where he just, it's me first, getting anything I can, any way I can get it. And as a result, he really smothers. He smothers his heart, smothers his spirit. And my personal feeling, I think there is some goodness in this fellow, even though throughout the book he does some pretty terrible things. You know, I do have to be honest. He does some pretty violent stuff. And I'm not saying I excuse that, but I'm saying I think at one point there was somebody there we could have salvaged, but things just kind of got away from him. Mm-hmm.
That does happen. I mean, we see that in the world and in the news, and and I'm sure you saw that in some of the stories that you covered, where even though you're covering the facts, there's this backstory that makes you wonder about each of these individuals and how they got to this point. And I feel that probably motivated you in some ways to even write this book.
Oh, big time. I mean, you're covering these things, obviously, but there is a part of you saying, how did this person, you know, wind up in handcuffs in a backseat of a state police car? How did this happen? You know, there are people who were criminals, but there were people who just went the wrong way. I covered a case where a man threatened his ex-wife with a rifle, and when he was appearing for the judge said, how old are you? He said, 50, and he paused, says, old enough to know better. So he knew he had messed up, you know, and this man had never been in trouble before, but he let his emotions overrule his heart and his mind, And he was in a lot of trouble, you know, two ways about it. And it was just something to see. I guess it was so blatant. I mean, here I am taking notes, getting the facts of charge with such and such and such and such. But this man is opening up his heart like that, saying, you know, I really messed up. There's just tremendous drama in that, no getting around it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think that that's what's really cool about your book, is that you put this sort of this edgy excitement in the book, you know, the drama, the sort of the intrigue of what is a person going to do and what is driving them and how that impacts their life and the lives around them, really, because, you know, I'm sure even his friend Laura was deeply impacted by his life. Mm-hmm. And had to suffer with him ultimately.
Yeah, and suffer a lot.
So, and that's kind of what happens with us when we lose that state of our being. And so, yeah. So I'm really, really grateful and glad to share information about Born Speaking Lies. Do you have another work coming up? Something that you're working on? Am I rushing you?
No. I am working on something. I'm going to try and do it a little faster than Born Speaking Lies. But what a little preview is, I would like to take some of my best. I've been blogging for 11 years now, and I want to get some of the best posts together, update and edit them where necessary, and put them together in a volume.
Oh, that sounds great. That sounds great. And that will begin to stretch the conversation in multiple directions, I'm sure. So, wow, that's really cool. I look forward to that. And just to let everyone know, we're speaking with Rob Lenihan, and his book is Born Speaking Lies. And you can find out more about that at robertlenihan.com. He spells his last name L-E-N-I-H-A-N, robertlenihan.com. And you can also go to the Luna Park Gazette, the blog. And if you want to find those links, you'll find them on the Heart of Mind Radio archive page here at the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And so, Rob, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners as we finish up this segment?
Just really, anybody, just don't hold yourself back. If you have something in your heart, go, reach for it, work for it, you know, and just don't hurt yourself. Don't hold yourself back, because there's just so much out there in the way of boundaries and things getting in your way that you don't need to add to it. And I would tell you have your book projects, please. I want to read your book someday, okay?
There you go. And I want to thank you for joining me, and I want to congratulate you on your success. In publishing this book and, you know, really getting to the other side of this journey. And now you're blossoming, and I can't wait to see what else you bring to the table. Thank you so much for joining me, Rob Lenihan.
Thank you so much now. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis, the host of this program, and we are now heard on Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. at PRN.FM. So you're welcome to join in and listen to the program as it airs live, or you can go to the archive page on the website, PRN.FM. And the show is Heart of Mind Radio. And you can keep up with all that we're doing here. And this is a program that is primarily about consciousness, spirituality, and health in all its dimensions. So that is the personal, and that is also the public, the community, reaching into our physical body, our spiritual well-being, energetics, as well as consciousness, depression, all these things feed into the fullness of who we are as beings. And every one of us, each and every one of us is on a journey. And each of our journeys is very, very individual. And so this gives us an opportunity as we move through that journey, but also to share with each other what that journey is, what the triumphs are, what the struggles are. And for that reason, I enjoy speaking to you on the level of our program today. For those of you who are working on projects, working on books. Perhaps you're a blogger. Perhaps you are a healer, someone who works with people to help them through their own situations. I'm really interested in exploring the real story, the actual experiences, the true triumphs and successes, because, you know, success is not getting elected for president, certainly, if we look at the current situation. Success is moving through your own challenges and obstacles, coming to understand how you might have been set in a direction that is moving against your own best interest, and healing yourself so that you can blossom and become whole again, and begin to really appreciate what it is that you're doing. And so for those of you who have a story to tell, I would love to include your story with this program. If those of you who have published books, and, well, you know, maybe you don't have a huge publisher. Actually, there really aren't any more huge publishers that publish books as they did in the old days. Or maybe you've composed some music. Maybe you're putting out a new CD or maybe you're a new emerging rap artist. Whatever it is, I want to be able to fold your stories into this program, because Heart of Mind Radio is about all of us growing and coming together as a community. If you have something to share, please do send an email to heartofmindradio@gmail.com. That's heartofmindradio@gmail.com. Send me a link, or maybe you can send an MP3 of a little of your work, or a link to a video that shows what you're doing, so that we can begin to really weave these stories. Because we learn from each other, and we grow from each other. And I want to learn from you as well as share, you know, what I am called to share in the world. And I think together we can begin to build something very special. So please do be in touch. You could also connect with me on Facebook. Actually, I have several websites. I'm not going to read them all out now, but if you go to the Heart of Mind Radio archive page, you'll see some links where you can connect with my blog and other websites and get a monthly newsletter and really be in touch with all that's going on with this program, because we are about consciousness, spirituality, and health. And with a focus on ascension of our bodies, ascension of our minds, ascension of our spirit, because we are living during a time in which we can uplift ourselves, because the energy in which we live is more dynamic. It's the vibration is at a higher vibration. And though we may think of us in ourselves as living in third density or a 3D world, it's actually closer at this point to a 5 density world, which means that we can begin to transcend the limitations of time and space. And with regard to healing, with regard to transforming ourselves, this is one of the ways in which these modern healing technologies work. It allows us to recognize that the being that we were as an infant, as a child, as a young adult, as our current selves, and even as our future selves, these are all facets of our being that we can connect to in the now moment. So if you have had a wound or some assertion implanted in your mind as a young child, we can trace back into that moment when that event occurred, when that situation occurred, and begin to heal it from the perspective of the time, that moment in time, so that once it's healed in that inner child, in the past, then all of the traces begin to dissolve, leading up to who you are in your present moment. And it's a very powerful process of healing. It works with visualization. It works with meditation. It works with affirmation. It works with energy work, where you can actually find the space within your body, within your field, your auric field, your energy field, in which the contracted, difficult energy is being held. alive in your body, in your energy, and we can dissolve and pull that out. And a lot of what we're going to be covering on this program in the coming weeks are actual techniques that you can use and that you can follow to do this, to just go forth and work with yourself in a way that will help you to facilitate moving forward. I do recommend, for those of you who haven't had a chance to hear it, go to the Heart of Mind archive page for last week, and you will see that there is a segment in which I show you how to dissolve the toxic matrix of old energies that are held within your physical body. And this is a practice that everyone can do to release this old energy, to heal your body and lift its vibration. So go and check out that program of March 31st on the archive. Download it or listen there on the archive, and you'll be able to really connect and have an actual tool that you can use. And I'm also preparing an actual meditation where it's going to be available as a download coming up that will take you into some of these techniques. So it's going to be a very interactive program, a very interactive process that we will share with each other. And I also, as I said, invite you to share with me. And so please do take me up on that and engage. Let's work together to make this a much better place, a much better world to live in. Speaking of which, I wanted to just bring in a little bit of an editorial commentary on the current events of this attack that took place in Syria yesterday. And it seems that President Trump authorized this missile attack into a military airbase in Syria. And while this is a very dangerous occurrence, I want to caution everybody to understand that in measure, this is something that's being perpetrated by the, well, so-called neocons, you might say, but there's also a cadre of beings in this world that is doing everything it can to hold back progress, to hold back the evolution of humanity, to steep people and return people to a state of fear and foreboding. And I want to caution that we not do that, because I believe in some measure that that is exactly the point, because it's on the fear and anger and hatred that this kind of behavior and this energy feeds. And it is a way of controlling. When you sink into anger, when you sink into fear, it's a way of controlling your energy, and then you can be led into any kind of negative actions. And it's a little like what we were talking about earlier in the program, and we don't want to give our energy over to this kind of toxic behavior that is being instigated by certain segments of our political society here in the United States. And I just wanted to point out is that to do some research. I've been doing some research on this whole issue, and the whole attack was based on an earlier attack about a week ago, in which the government of Syria has been accused of being responsible for, where a group of people were gassed and killed. But if you really look into the issue, you will see that the Syrian government had already been cleared by the UN as not having these chemical weapons any longer. And they were engaged in a process of fighting these so-called terrorists. It was actually winning, was on the other side of that. So they really had nothing to gain from doing the gas attack. While on the other hand, we have these so-called terrorists, which have been divided into two groups. The White Hats are one of these groups. And this group is alleged to have been trained, funded, and supported by the West. And they were supported and trained because they were allegedly supposed to help bring down the Assad government. So it makes you wonder if this is not just a false flag that is been put out there in order to create another conflict, in order to lead us into yet another war. Now, we saw this happened with Iraq and all of these weapons of mass destruction that never arrived, appeared, or could be proved, and in the end was proven to be a lie. And here we are facing this exact same scenario again. And we cannot really depend on the mainstream media to give the truth for these issues. So I encourage you to stay tuned to the Progressive Radio Network. I'm sure you're going to hear more over the airwaves here. You can also check out other kinds of alternative news. You can find it on the internet. You could tune in to other alternative stations. And then you can begin to really discern the truth and be an instrument of disseminating the truth. So instead of getting angry, instead of getting frustrated, let's stand up and ensure that we not get dragged into another war. And the reason that this is something we must stand up against is because Syria was and is an ally of Russia. So do we know that there were not Russian troops on the ground, that Russian troops were not also killed in this attack? Is this an attempt to bring us into a greater, more expansive war? Well, I think that it very well might be. But our responsibility is not to rush to that judgment, not to sustain and support that, but to stand up against it. And that's what I want to encourage all of us to do, is to find a way to inform our neighbors, our friends, our community of the issues, that because it's not going to be heard on mainstream media, and to engage in whatever events can happen, be it writing to Congress, be it standing up with others in protests, be it whatever it is we can do, maybe even beginning to communicate with those mainstream media, and maybe we need to start boycotting these products who are gaining from the support of media that is undermining independent voices and independent news. So we can each take some responsibility by standing strong in our spirituality, by standing strong in our knowing of and having a moral compass, and not resort to being in fear over what's going on. And, you know, let's bring out the facts and not get into lobbying stories of hatred at each other, or getting angry, or even at the perpetrators. Let's not get angry at them, because that's actually giving them what they want. But let's just calmly recognize what we're witnessing and stand up for the truth and bring our energy back into the positive vibration, hold that positive vibration so that the world doesn't get dragged down into a toxic situation that could undermine life for everyone on the planet. And so it's very important that we stand strong in this, and that we actually bring our vibration up and contribute our energy not to fear, but to actively contribute energy to a peaceful state of coexistence. And we need that even more strongly now, is that we must, because of what the situation that's going on, because the these people who are unfortunately in leadership roles have hijacked the government, have hijacked the destiny of humanity in favor of their own selfish profits, I believe. And part of that profit, continuing that profit, is keeping humanity in a state of fear and encouraging humanity into a state of anger and attack against each other. So I'm really encouraging that we not fall into that. And that we say, no, I'm going to hold firm. I witnessed this. I see it. I'm not Pollyanna about it. I can see what's happening. But I'm not going to be dragged into the negative end of the energy vibrational field, because we live in a collective consciousness. The more negativity, the more energy that drops, the more it drags the whole collective down. So it really needs the warriors, those of us who are warriors of the light, to stand strong, to keep the vibration high, and to meditate for peace, to pray for peace, to vibrate peace, and to begin to have a true understanding, not this fall understanding of bringing all these pictures of these unfortunate children who've died in this situation. Children are dying every single day across the globe at the hands of many, be it Syrians, be it terrorists, so-called, be it other governments, be it United States government. So what we have to stand for is for the dignity of all humanity, and what we have to continue to advocate for and to is the upliftment of all humanity, regardless of race, regardless of religion, regardless of belief systems. We must keep our energy and vibration very high. So I invite you to join me in just a moment of breathing into that. You know, just take a few deep breaths, breathe in through the nose, exhale through your mouth, and just allow your awareness to sink into the heart space. Breathe into that heart space. Connect with your true center. Connect with your compass, your true compass, and allow that understanding of the reality of what humanity wants for this life, wants for this world, is true of every human being, wants to have peace, wants to be able to live their life with dignity, wants to be able to live, in a way that allows their children and their families to thrive. And so let's breathe energy into that and not allow ourselves to be overtaken by fear and hatred. So I want to really, really encourage you to do that. And in the same way, we want to do this on a personal level. And the other part of the program that I really wanted to share with you today was really how to begin working on our own personal healing. And I really loved this interview that we had with Rob Lenihan, because it really speaks to, it's a commentary on our world, born speaking lies. We're born into a world in which we are told falsehoods, distortions by our religions, by our schools, and by our politics. And by virtue of this being a generational problem, our parents are also, sometimes our ancestors have been sucked into these perceptions of falsehoods. And it's really important that we extract ourselves and allow ourselves to be born into our own inner truth, into our own inner knowing. And some of the examples that were given by Rob really do work for, can work for ourselves and can work for your journey, whether you decide you want to turn it into a creative project or not. It's really important to write these things down. Some people might prefer to record. I mean, maybe you want to take your phone and begin to record what's happening, what your thoughts are, what your challenges are, what your triumphs are, to begin to make it real that you are on this journey, to honor that journey that you're on. Maybe even set up a blog. You can set up a blog free. It's not difficult. And, you know, begin to really put your story down, to record your journey, to see, to be able to actually see your triumphs. And make an effort to counsel yourself, you know, to sort of ask the question, what do I need to do? What steps can I take? What am I misunderstanding or not understanding about my life situation? And you can write about that. And as you write, it can be a catharsis. It can bring out insights. Another way of doing that is taking to the canvas or to a sketchbook and just pour your feelings or in images, in doodling, in just in colors, to be able to move energy through you in a tangible way. So I'm talking about things that we can do in addition to the, you know, the meditation and the energy work. We can begin to engage our lives in ways that will move energy and cause us to have a catharsis, to cause us to have insights, because the insights, the same intuition that comes to you in a given moment can also come to you in all these ways, because you are putting that effort out to express and to transform your life. So I want to really encourage you to do this. And also, you know, we can always find that inspiration through reading. You know, go into the internet and put in a topic, spiritual healing, physical healing, catharsis, and see what comes up for you. And it can be like a little bit of a Rorschach test, and things will come up, and you might be inspired, and you can follow those paths and maybe do some research and do writing on that. But I'm really encouraging you to engage life, to engage your experience, to be willing to have an expression, be it private or public, so that something is flowing within you, energy is flowing within you. You're opening doorways to be creative and expressive in your life. For others, it might be something as simple as movement or dance. You know, so give yourself that space to express, whether it's, you know, maybe you're feeling tight in your body. Put on the music that you enjoy and move with it. Sing with it. It's really important that we not allow ourselves to be stuck and stagnant. And there's so many ways that we can do this, that we can get the energy flowing, that we can allow for space for something new to arrive. Allow yourself to do things differently. Go into different places. Talk to different people. Read different kind of book than you might normally read. Check out something that you wouldn't normally be attracted to, and just give yourself different avenues where you can really engage life in a new way and open up this space for you to be creative and for you to really, really express yourself. And also there's this avenue of activism. We can be actively engaged in the world. We can seek out information, not accepting the mainstream, you know, the whatever tale they want to trot out and pretend is the truth. We don't have to accept that. Let's really span out our attention and look for the real truth. Look for evidence in alternative media, even in media that comes from different countries. Look for a different perspective, a different voice, in coming to your understanding of the whole situation. Maybe you could become a political commentator doing that research. I'm really, really suggesting that we all can be active and engaged in life in a way that is transformative. And when we are actively engaged in life, that's how life changes. That is how we begin to recreate our experience. That is how we begin to heal the past, by being active with it and not falling into that dark hole, you know, like a pothole in the street. We don't have to trip on it every time. We can begin to realize it's there, walk around it, and maybe fill it in, heal it, so that it's not even something that matters anymore that's going to trip us up. So I just want you to really engage actively, to be whole, and to love yourself, because we are all here with something unique and special to bring to the table. Don't discount your uniqueness. Don't discount what you observe. Just because other people don't observe it, well, that's why you're here on the planet, because you're the one to observe that particular thing. You know, don't look at other people's books or other people's gifts or whatever it is. Search within yourself to see, well, what am I bringing? And honor that. You know, love that in yourself. Begin to really understand that you are an equal sovereign being in this game. And the reason we have these so-called elites trying to control our world is because the masses, the many, have surrendered their sovereignty to these beings. And we need to claim it back. And claiming it back on many levels, it's not just about politics and money. It's about standing up within yourself and saying, I am that I am. I am a sovereign, divine being. And I do not permit these others to take my energy. I will not succumb to these fear-mongering techniques. I will stand up against the harm being caused by this activity. And also, I will do so while resonating from within my heart that peace and that love and that determination to bring this world into an evolutionary process that respects life, that gives dignity and well-being and safety to children. We can do this on so many different levels by healing and standing up within ourselves, by creatively bringing life into the world, and by being active politically and in ways that can help to change the body politic. I encourage you, because if we all do this, and it's only when we do this that things will truly change. I want to thank you for joining me. This has been Heart of Mind Radio, and you're listening to the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And you can connect with me. My name is Catherine Davis. I host this program. My email is heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And phone number is 347-480-1694. Leave a message. I get back to you as soon as I can. Email is faster, though, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. I have several websites. Some of them are under construction, but you can jot them down. Catherine.one talks about the healing work. QigongOnline.net talks about the movement and energy work. HeartOfMindRadio.com talks about the various broadcasts. BodyAscension.wordpress.com is my blog, and we can interact back and forth on a regular basis there. I also offer a newsletter. It's sort of monthly, bi-monthly. When I have something to share, you can link to that on the Heart of Mind archive page. We also have an ongoing Qigong series, and it is, we're calling it Spring Up and Stay Grounded with Qigong Meditation and Movement for Body Wellness and Stress Reduction. And this is if you want just an ongoing practice. It's like a combination of yoga and Tai Chi. If you were to mush those together, you would have Qigong. So it restore your vitality, lubricate your joints, and stretch your muscles. Ease your mind, let go of body tension, and awaken a natural state of inner peace. And it's Saturdays at Studio Maya from starting at 2:30. We'll be on this Saturday and going on till 4:30 p.m. Studio Maya is in Brooklyn, 603 Bergen Street, Brooklyn, New York. That's between Carlton and Vanderbilt Avenue. Again, you can get all that information at heartofmindradio@gmail.com, or you can go to prn.fm, the archive page for Heart of Mind Radio, and you'll find all the links necessary to connect. I want you to stay tuned. First, I thank you for joining me, and stay tuned to prn.fm for more great programming coming up today and throughout the coming week. Bye for now.